Welcome to Roaming with Restless Women. Today we are back with Irene Monteiro. Did I say that correctly, Maureen?
Yes, you got it right, Julie. I'm Maureen
Oh, Irene.
Montero.
Okay, perfect. So Irene is the founder of Irene Monteiro International, and she is the author also of a book called Rise Higher and a Bold Voice in Mental Health Wellness. And this is why I wanted to bring her on today. As an anxiety mentor and former corporate leader who experienced a brain stroke from suppressed stress and anxiety, she now helps ambitious women in high stress careers break free from the chaos within. She developed the Stress to Strength Method, a powerful framework born from lived experience, psychological insights, and deep inner work. Her mentorship goes beyond surface level techniques to unravel root causes of anxiety that so many women can finally breathe and live their own damn lives. I love it. Live in your own damn terms. Irene's articles have appeared in Shale Magazine, Yahoo Finance, NBC, and more. She's on a mission to liberate 1 billion women from the grip of stress and anxiety, guiding them to lead with resilience, clarity, and unapologetic joy. And I'll tell you at the end how to get a hold of Irene as we go through. Irene, thank you so much for being here with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Julie, for the wonderful introduction, and I'm honored to be on your podcast on the show.
Oh, thank you. Well, she comes to us all the way from Mumbai, India. And so, well, we have a little bit of a lag, you might hear, but that's okay because we're going to keep going. So, Irene, I want to know about how you got into this work. Your bio mentioned that you actually had a stroke. So, tell me about that.
Sure. So now I would like to say anxiety is that guest that nobody wants to invite, but it decides that I'm anyways going to gate crash your party. And so it did. So it gate crashed my party. It didn't just gate crash, but it came with a plus one, a brain stroke. So now that I think about it, I have a very different perspective. But back then, when I was laying on the MRI table, the scan table, while the doctor wanted to understand what was the extent of the damage the brain had suffered, whether it was permanent, temporary, or something that could not be reversed, I was scared. I had my husband hold my hand through the entire procedure, and that's when I realized that all this while, what I have been holding back within, fighting through everything. I thought I had it all. I was sticking everything through my corporate journey, rising through the ranks, getting promoted, getting appreciated, getting all those awards. And I have a beautiful family and a network of friends. I thought I was living it. But
Yes.
inside, I was crumbling and I did not know that. And that was a full stop. It was required. And thankfully, it didn't drain everything out of me. It left me with that spark. So when I walked out of that room, I knew I had to change something, not just for myself, but I knew it was a purpose that God had given me, that spirit to endure this. I had overcome many setbacks in life earlier, but this was something that I had to turn into purpose. And I knew there were other women out there, somebody who has taken a break. Like I had taken a career break when I had my daughter. So for a couple of years, I was at home. So I knew many women out there take that break, whether they want it, they don't want it, for their children, for their parents, at some point in time. And they go through so much of struggle. And they, even though they're surrounded by loved ones, sometimes they feel that they're struggling all alone. And
Yeah.
that's what that energy is bottled up, and we don't know that we are dealing with it at times until it comes right up surfacing. So when it decides to erupt like a volcano, you are there. It's there, stays staring at you in your face, and you have to deal with it. I don't want women to get to that point, to that break point when it's too late sometimes. But I want them to know, to understand that they are not alone on this journey. It's not a bridge that cannot be passed. Somebody has gone through it before and they certainly can do it. So the first thing I would tell all your viewers out there, all the women out there, stop pretending you're fine. So sometimes we just like to look into the mirror, you know, put on our makeup, our lipstick, and just smile and say, you know, I'm fine. Admit to yourself that you are not fine. That's the very first thing you can do to yourself. We have just celebrated Mother's Day recently. So to all you wonderful moms out there, if you're feeling overwhelmed, it's okay.
Yes. It's okay. So stop saying that everything is fine, especially if it's not. What happens, though, is that a lot of us, like you said, don't realize that we are under that kind of stress. What are some things that you can look for in your life that would help you understand, oh, wait a minute, I am really putting a lot of pressure on myself, or there are a lot of things going on and I'm feeling all this stress? What are some of the warning signs before you get to the point that you have a stroke or something horrible happen to you?
So there are a couple of warning signals, I would say. Some are at the very early stages, some are at the later stages. So the easier ones, but something that nobody talks about frequently, is the way your body responds. So this is something I talk to my mentees. When your body experiences something like a trigger or a trauma from the past, or maybe something new, your body stores that as something that in the next event of a similar nature, it should know how to respond to that, because it's going into a defensive mode. So for some, there could be a lump in the throat. The shoulders may stiffen. You can feel the cramp in your stomach. You can feel your legs just not moving from there. Even though you have all the energy to run, you just feel like you are stuck to that ground with all the possible glue that could have been unloaded. There are many ways that your body responds. So understanding and realizing. So what I would want someone to do listening to this episode at this time, once you are done listening to this episode, recollect a simple thing, not a very traumatic incident, but a very simple thing that agitates you or irritates you, and see how your body is responding to that. Which part of your body is giving you that stiffness or that alertness? So the moment you feel that similar nature, you know that you are in a state of anxiety and panic again. Okay. And all it takes for you to actually unravel that moment is just get up from your seat. If you're sitting, because most of the women are working at home doing something, just to get your mind off that situation, move around. Just a simple 4 to 5 steps, just stand up from your desk, take a walk to the end of the corridor, come back. If you're at home, go across from one room to the other room. If you're with one kid, stop yelling with that kid, go to the next kid. But just take your mind off what has been bothering you, and you will see that shift. And what it signals your body is that it's okay. You are not in a defensive mode, and it's okay. So you start feeling that your body is releasing that, and you are no longer tensed again. So we don't get into that loop where it's constantly stuck, but then you're just shifting focus.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So just even changing your body position is something that can break that cycle. That's perfect. Well, what about if you are not kind of paying attention, and all of a sudden you start to feel, when you actually feel stressed, how do you get out of that, not the initial stress, but something a little deeper? So maybe it's not just a thought, but maybe you got an upsetting phone call. Maybe you lost your job. You know, what kinds of things can you do to start breaking that cycle? I know that it's not just a one and done when it's that severe. So tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So let's break it down into a couple of instances wherein you are in a mode of anxiety or stress where it's a short period. You know that you're going to suffer a setback for a very short period, maybe a minute or a week or so. And that is something that you have to deal with. So I call this the calm me down technique, wherein you think of, you use your senses. So you look at 5 things and you see and observe the texture and the patterns or the colors of it. And then you start listening to the sounds. You start smelling things that you can, smell around you. And you see the taste, the last taste that you can recall in your mouth. Maybe, something that you've just had, your coffee you sipped, or if not anything else, if you've just woken up, the toothpaste
Yeah.
that
Yeah.
you had. So when you engage all your five senses, and generally it's the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, but you can do it in any order. As long as you're engaging all your senses, it will break the thought pattern of what you had engaged with in the first instance, and it will get you off that panic mode. But this is for a very brief thing. So this is you are tackling the symptom, not the root cause.
Got
Now,
it.
when we talk about, when we talk about the actual problem that's there, so when you have had maybe a heartbreak or a job loss, or you've lost a loved one. This is something that people tell you that it's okay, time will heal it, and you can move on, but it's not okay. You know that it's not okay, and it will definitely feel a little easier after some time. But the moment someone says it's okay, you literally want to thrash them. Your levels of stress just goes off the roof, and like, just shut up. It's not going to be okay. I know it's not going to be okay, and you want to be
Right.
left alone. And when you are shutting off everyone around you, because people mean well, your family and your friends, they mean well, your colleagues, they mean well when they are saying that to you, but deep down you feel that nobody understands you. And they are not in that situation because you are in that situation. And so you are closing your heart to them. So at this point of time, I would say you are the best judge to feel whatever you're feeling. And it's absolutely okay to feel that way. Because as society, we've been told that, wipe your tears, stop crying, and, put on that smile and you'll be okay. I would encourage them to let their emotions out. If you want to cry, cry. If you want to feel sad, feel sad. But then give yourself a timeline. Say you are going to cry for 5 minutes, for an hour, for a whole day, for a whole week. But give yourself that timeline that I'm going to give myself this pity party, but the pity party is going to end. And this is the timeline that I'm going to stop my pity party. And that's when you're going to start reclaiming your life back again. Because when we bottle up these emotions, they will come down as another trauma later on. So let those emotions out. It's okay to feel the way we are feeling. And at that point of time, no matter what self-help book they are with or what mentor they are with, nothing's going to help them because their mind is closed to objectivity.
Right.
So once the pity party is over, it's when you start looking at life objectively. Okay, now this is the situation I'm with. I've got to do the best out of it. Now this is what I have in hand. This is what I don't have. Then you start taking small steps and understand it's okay. Once the baby is born and the baby starts crawling, the baby starts taking very few steps and starts wobbling and falling down. And it's cute. We enjoy that as mothers. So most of us would understand how babies
Yes.
learn to walk. So taking that as an analogy, I would like to remind all you wonderful women listening to this, it's okay to take those baby steps. For you, if your baby step means getting out of bed and taking a shower, that's a step you've taken. So pat yourself on that back, because sometimes it's so difficult to just get out of your pajamas and feel good. Get
Oh,
out of your
yeah.
house, take that walk and feel that fresh air and come back. Sometimes you just don't want to even draw that curtain and let the sunlight on your face. So if that is a baby step that you have taken, be happy and proud of yourself. Tomorrow, take the next step.
Yes. And so
So
when you and I'm sorry, go ahead.
yeah, so what I want to just add on is when you start taking those small steps, you feel a little better, you feel less overwhelmed because you have given yourself those little leeways to take those steps. And you are not looking at the entire problem at hand, you're breaking it
Yeah.
down to something that you can actually do.
Yes. And so then you basically what you've just described is how you work with your mentees. Is that correct? With your seven steps, or what did you call that? What's your method?
It's the 9 steps. So it's the C's to rise and the R's to seize.
Okay.
So these are the pillars that each one of it, when you make as a foundation, you move up in your life. And if you neglect the R's, then it pulls you down. So this is what you work on when you constantly work on moving up and realizing that you have to let go of certain things so that it doesn't drag you back again.
And so actually, when you are working with your mentees, how often do they actually fall down a little bit sometimes?
In the initial stages, I give them a week to get used to that. So I give them a daily homework kind of a thing so that they get back to me with what they are going through and feeling like with tasks. And sometimes they just don't do anything for that first week. And I know it's okay. And when they come back, then they tell me, you know what? I had this reminder in my phone that I had to do it and give it to you, but I just couldn't get myself to go through that emotion.
I understand.
But as long as they're aware that they had to do something, that's a good sign, because they know that there is something to be done. And then when they are on the second call, they've realized that, okay, this is what I need to be aware of, accept it. And then they move forward from there.
Well, and the thing about it is, none of us can totally get rid of stress and anxiety. It's part of living. But you're teaching people the tools to deal with it when they notice it and it's getting in the way of their living their best lives. Or it's leading to, you know, something horrible like happened to you with the brain stroke. Perfect. Okay. And so what advice do you always give people when they are first noticing that they're feeling this way? Do you ever turn them outwardly and have them make changes in their lives?
There is nothing as such as outwardly, I would say, because you are giving your control to somebody else. It's all within. So what science tells us is that every human being has approximately 60 to 80,000 thoughts per day that goes on in our mind. Now, if I ask them to put down the thoughts that are going on in a day, they will come up with 2 to 4 or 6 at the most, and they will give me the same thoughts again and again. Now, this is where I don't tell them what I'm asking them to do initially, but when I tell them, go back and look at it, then they know that it's like a tape that has been stuck. So these thoughts are going on repeat mode, and the inner voice is actually their own bully. So their inner voice is keeping them trapped. And once they realize that they need to break that dialogue with themselves and move on to the next dialogue, they realize that they are reclaiming their power back. So for me, there were certain words. And when somebody would just say, for instance, let's say, if somebody is saying, are you sure? For you, it would mean it's just a question. Somebody's asking me, are you sure? So you say yes, you say no, you say maybe. For me, it was a very triggered sentence or a question. I would literally get worked up with that. I would take it personally. And I didn't know that this is all building up. But when I went and looked at my past events, right, from the time I was a kid, from the time I was bullied, and from certain traumatic incidents, that's when I realized certain facial expressions, certain questions, certain words, and certain phrases, they impacted me so much that if I would say, okay, this is what caused me anxiety, somebody would, you know, actually laugh at me and say, why would this cause you so much of stress? So for someone, anxiety is not a mountain that they're dealing with. It could be somebody's smirk. So, and they may not realize that. And it could be even a smell or a scent of a food or of a perfume of an ex, maybe, that they don't like. Anything that could trigger them, and they would go into that mode of feeling anxious, but they're not realizing that. So I get them to actually think first of what they are going through on a day-to-day basis. What is the talk they're having with themselves?
Yes.
And then slowly go back into the past. What are the events that they still describe in detail? If I ask them to close their eyes, what is it that comes to their mind? Something that they could describe in its entirety, including the environment, the temperature, the food, the people, what they're wearing. I knew this is something that's holding them back, that's they are stuck with. And until they don't cut the cords with this situation, that's going to hold them back.
Perfect. Now, okay, so I totally get that. I get that because I know that especially scents can take you back, and or snippets of a sound or a song can take you back.
Song.
Yes. I remember some fairly traumatic times in my life, and I will remember not very much of the details, but I will remember the song that was playing, when that happened, whatever it was. So yeah, I could totally get how you're going back and showing people how to listen for that, use their senses. That's the real, if you're just thinking with yourself, you're just going around and around in your mind, you're not getting anywhere. That's perfect. Okay. So I have three questions that I ask everybody at the end of my episodes. And before I do that, though, I want to ask you if you have any words of wisdom that you would like to share with our audience beyond what you've already shared, which has been phenomenal. Thank you very much. We are all in, totally stressed these days. What words of wisdom would you give to our audience?
I wouldn't term this as words of wisdom, but this is something that I've incorporated in my daily routine. And I think it should just take 5 to 6 seconds, not additional, but when you're just brushing your teeth and looking into the mirror each morning, just look into your eyes in the mirror and tell yourself you love you. So state your name, say, if you're Julie, saying that to yourself, say, Julie, I love you. And you just look into your eyes in the mirror and tell yourself that. And you know that when you are loving yourself as you are, when you woke up that morning, no matter how you're feeling, how you're looking, and what is in front of you are accepting yourself. It gives you that boost of confidence that you are ready to tackle what's ahead of you.
That's so true. And we don't do that enough. Most of us are spend probably 99% of our time criticizing ourselves. And that's not good. That just increases the stress that you've been talking about. Well, thank you for that. Okay, so I have three questions that I ask at the end. The first one is, if you could close your eyes.
Okay, do you want me to do that right now?
Yep.
Okay, I'm doing that.
All right, close your eyes. Then tell me what you see in your mind's eye when you hear wise women. And open
When
your
I
eyes
hear
and talk. Yeah.
So when I hear wise women, there are two women who come across to my mind at that very instant. One is Oprah Winfrey. She's been a role model right from the time I was a kid. And the other is my Nana, who's no more. She passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh.
My grandma is someone who has lived a very resilient life. She's the woman, even though she was a homemaker, I would say she knew how to manage her finances, how to manage family, how to shape our lives, her grandchildren's lives, her kids' lives, and be the support for all the women out there in the neighborhood, encourage them to be their best. So whatever I am today, I think it's because of these two women who have shaped me, given me the strength, given me the faith to do whatever I am and to do whatever I can for other women.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. I love when we have both a not personal and a personal influence on our lives. It makes a difference. It really does. And so, my next question is, where do you like to roam?
Rome. This might sound outrageous or silly, I don't know, but it's been on my bucket list since I was in grade 8. So going and spending a week or two in the Amazon jungle is where I would want to be. I want to do that before I turn very old and can't run.
Oh,
So my daughter said,
wow.
you need to run faster than the lion before you get eaten up.
Oh, that's amazing. Excuse me. And so that's on your bucket list. Where do you like to roam right now?
Right now, I think it's just, somewhere in the countryside. I'm always drawn to
Yeah.
nature, even if it's just outside the city. Anything with nature reminds you of God's creation, of a higher power. And when you look at the trees and the birds and animals and anything, any life that surrounds you, you know that they're helpless, but still they're growing. And they are doing their part, but there is a higher power that's blessing them, that's helping them serve their purpose. So it helps me get connected, stay grounded, and enjoy the beauty.
Thank you. That's beautiful. I also love nature. I live in an RV, a caravan, and we roam around the country and still do our work, but we go different places all over our country. We love it.
That's beautiful.
Okay, final question. What makes you restless in a good way?
Restless is when I know I have to do something, but I'm not getting that edge or that idea to take it forward.
Yeah.
I know there is something that I'm doing, but there is something else I could do. And until I get my answer to that, I, may proceed a little with it, but then the question is there at the end of, at the, back of my mind. And sometimes it
Yes.
could just pop up in an unrelated way. And we could be having a conversation. I could be having a conversation with my daughter. We could be watching a movie together. It could be just anything. And then the answer just pops up. And she's like, "Were you thinking of this all this while?"
I
I
think
was
a
like,
lot of us
no,
have those. Yeah.
I
That's where our creativity comes from, I think, is having to sit with an idea for a while, and
Yeah.
then figure out there will be a time, there will be a time when that idea sparks an action. And sometimes we want to act too quickly, and then we lose the great idea. So I love that. You carry those around with you as I do. Oh, well, thank you so much. And talk to me about your book and how we can get a copy of it.
Rise Higher is available on Amazon, and that's how you can get your copy. And you
Okay.
can also visit my website, risefromtheash.com. So I'm currently working on two other books and hope to have that published soon as well.
Two at a time. Ooh. You're a busy woman. Well, thank you so much for coming in and giving us some real useful tips on how to help ourselves be less stressed and less anxious, to see it before it gets bad, to us, and also for giving us the information that you have about how to get a hold of you if we want to talk to you about it as well. Thank you so much, Irene. I really appreciate your being here.
I loved our conversation this evening, Julie, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.